I'm super blessed to be continuing Believe, Belong, Become with you guys this morning, our vision series. And we're going to be nailing in on the word belong this morning. And when I was in high school and even middle school, I was what I call a chameleon. I just blended in. I camouflaged really, really well. So I blended into all kinds of different groups and different people. I would eat lunch with the most random assortment of people, and I would change who and where I ate lunch with just based on how I was feeling that day or that week. I would talk to anybody. If you sat next to me in class, we were getting in trouble because we're going to be friends. Didn't matter who you were or what you looked like. I was just going to talk to you, and we were going to be friends, and I loved getting to know people. But because I blended in and because I spread myself so thin, I didn't really belong to anybody. I didn't get close to anybody. I was kind of defined by nothing. I didn't have a group. I don't currently have like high school friends that I go and hang out with. My brother, he'll come into town. We graduated from Bartram, go Bears, Boo Creekside. we graduated from Bartram, and like he'll come into town and he'll have a packed week where it's like breakfast, lunch, dinner with different various high school friends, and it's all the people he hung out with, and he only hung out with those people. And he has really core groups where I kind of blended in. And I assembled the most random group of friends that anybody could ever assemble. And I think one of the reasons that happened is I was interested in a little bit of everything. I played sports. I loved soccer. Played in middle school and high school and loved it. I was a nerd. Eric, one of our volunteers, we like to talk about the calculus class we took because we liked the teacher and we both like calculus. He's celebrating in the sound booth right now with his hands in the air. So I'm a nerd. I like sports. I still play video games, but I played video games back then. I did chess club in middle school. I was in a TV production class for 4 years. I took architectural drafting. It is the most random assortment of things that I could possibly accomplish, but it's because I love learning. I enjoyed all of it, but because of that, I belonged nowhere. I didn't have any identity. I met great people. I never felt alone, but when it came to belonging to a group, calling people when I needed them, I didn't have that in high school because I didn't devote myself fully to one thing. And maybe you know exactly what I'm talking about when it comes to belonging, where you find yourself struggling to belong somewhere because, you know, you've got your work friends over here, and I've got my church people over here, and I've got my kids' sports parents over here, and I've got my friends and family over here, and the people I do my hobbies with are over here, and I'm just, it's too busy. I just can't connect with everyone. So I belong to no one. I'm not fully invested in anything. Maybe you know exactly what that feels like to be when you come to church, you're churchy, and when you're around sports people, you're sporty, and when you're around work people, you're worky, and you just don't feel like you connect. You don't commit to a certain way of life. And none of those things are bad. Working is great. Sports are great. You know, church is the best of them all. But maybe you don't feel like you belong. And if that's you, I want to put a pin in that. I want you to hold on to it. Hold on to that feeling. We're coming back, because I have to talk to the other side of the room for a little bit. Because there's an opposite side of this where we belong to a very specific group of people. And you can know if this is you, if the large majority of the people you talk to, spend time with, what you spend your money on, revolves around a specific group. My favorite one to pick on is politics, right? If all my friends are Democrats or all my friends are Republicans, I probably can only focus on one type of thing in life. If I can only define my friend groups by my political leanings, I'm probably a little committed to that. Maybe it's sports. I love the Jacksonville Jaguars a little too much. If you're a sad, depressed Jaguars fan, you can talk to me about that. I've been considering starting a support group. There's a couple guys here I text on a semi-regular basis where I'm like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how depressed are you about the Jaguars? They'll send back like 11, and I'm like, cool, me too. So if that's you, we can talk. I understand where you're coming from. But I don't love the Jaguars so much to where I need my friends to be Jaguars. But I follow people on X, the everything app where everything happens. Elon can pay me for that plug. I follow some people on X who have like quit their jobs, started a YouTube channel, started a podcast. They only know Jaguars football. And that's all that they do. Some people make their identity about sports. Some people make it about a hobby. Like, how do you tell if somebody does CrossFit? They talk about CrossFit, right? They don't stop talking about it. Some people just really center their life around one thing, and it's really hard for those people to function outside of that. And that's good in terms of knowing where you are and who you are. But the question for that is, are you belonging to the right thing? Because you belong to something uber specific, where the other group of people I just talked to belong to absolutely nothing. And as we dive into Gideon's story today, I think we're going to see a lot about belonging with both groups. And last week we met a guy named Gideon. And today I'm going to call him Winepress Gideon. Elliot gave you guys homework to finish reading chapter 6 of Judges. He left off last week in verse 16 with Winepress Gideon. And a lot happened between where he left off and where we're picking up today. Winepress Gideon felt like God had abandoned him, felt like God had abandoned his people. He was really confused at why the things that were happening to him and his people were happening. And so he starts this conversation with who we know now as the angel of the Lord, but Gideon wasn't really sure who this person was at that moment. And so he's trying to feel this out, trying to figure out if he's talking to God, the God, and he makes a sacrifice. And so he goes off, and that entails a lot. So he asks the servant, please stay here while I go make a sacrifice, because he had to go get a bull, bring it to the altar, slaughter the bull, all this kind of stuff. And in this conversation after the first sacrifice, he realizes he's talking to the angel of the Lord, all caps, Lord. If you're in your Bibles in Judges 6, it will have the word Lord in all caps. And most scholars would say, and I apologize, I do not like big words, but all my books say a big word, so I feel like I have to use it. Most scholars would say that this is a theophany, which is just a giant word for a manifestation of God himself. So when your Bible says the word Lord in all caps, it stands for Yahweh, the exact name of God. When the Hebrew scholars were writing it, they would write YHWH. They didn't feel worthy to write out the full name of God. And so when you see Lord all caps, that's what they were doing. The Hebrew writers were writing the exact name of God. And so Gideon is talking to Yahweh himself, or a messenger directly from Yahweh, hearing about him. He has this realization, and who we met last week as Winepress Gideon starts to shed off some of those feelings of abandonment and sadness and loneliness, because, you know, when you realize you're talking to God, you feel a little more confident. It's easier to know that, hey, maybe I'm doing the right thing. So he offered this sacrifice. He's talking to the messenger of the Lord, and we're going to pick up in Judges 6:25, where it says this. It says, that same night, the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. I love the specificity. Tear down your father's altar to Baal. Cut down the Asherah pole beside it. We're going to talk about who Baal and Asherah are in a little bit. Then build a proper altar to the Lord your God on top of this height. Using the wood from the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering. Now, this is huge, because what the Lord is asking Gideon to do here is not just to offer a sacrifice to him. He's asking him to burn his old gods. So he's not just saying sacrifice your bull. He's saying sacrifice your bull and your God to me, because I'm the real God. So Gideon then took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and townspeople, he did it at night rather than the daytime. In the morning, when the people of the town got up, there was Baal's altar destroyed, the Asherah pole cut down beside it, and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They said to each other, who did this? Who destroyed all this stuff? And when they carefully investigated it, they were told Gideon, son of Joash, did it. The people of the town demanded that Joash bring out your son. He must die. Because he didn't just destroy an altar and destroy an Asherah pole. He's essentially symbolically killing their gods and putting a new one in its place. He's saying, bring out your son. He must die, because he tore down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. But Joash said to the hostile crowd, are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal is really a god, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar. So Joash is just saying, like, look, Baal, who we're going to learn in a second, is the god of destruction. If he wants to take vengeance, he can. So don't get it for yourself. So because Gideon broke down Baal's altar, they gave him the name Jerubbaal that day, saying, let Baal contend with him. And I love reading between the lines a little bit. I love the personalities of people as scripture flow. And as I'm reading this, what I see is that Gideon blended in. Gideon blended in. Maybe not how I did in high school, but Gideon clearly wanted to be a part of God. He's in the wine press. He's gathering the wheat, and he's going, hey, where You know, where are you? Why have you abandoned me? Where are you? He clearly wants to be a little bit a part of Yahweh. He was upset that he felt abandoned, but he also didn't seem to have the biggest issue with there being an altar to Baal and an Asherah pole in the dead center of the town. So Gideon didn't really belong to God. He didn't really belong to the gods of his town. The Midianites are coming in to kill them all, and he's not preparing for war right now. He's hiding, so he probably didn't belong to his people. See, Gideon didn't really stand for anything. When we stand for nothing, we belong to nothing. Gideon stood there and was down on himself. He wasn't prepping for war. He was hiding in a wine press, feeling abandoned, feeling sad. And if that's you, if you know what those feelings of abandonment and sadness feel like and want to hear more about wine press Gideon, we talked about that last week. You can hop on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, our website, listen to that last week. It was fantastic. You can come and talk to us. We'd love to talk to you if you're feeling that way. So Gideon doesn't belong to anything and feels abandoned. God says, hey, go tear down the idols of your town, the altar to Baal and Asherah. Tear them down. And these were often paired together in history. Baal and Asherah in all cities, not just this one, were placed in the dead center. There was an altar to Baal, which was just a giant flat stone for sacrificing and burning animals on. And they were placed right next to each other. Baal was the storm god, so like rain and thunder and lightning. But they would broaden that out to be destruction and death and things of that nature. And then Asherah was the goddess of fertility, human fertility, crops, creation, all those things. So they put destruction and creating right next to each other. They had ceremonies that would overlap with each other. And they placed them in the middle of the town because they were the most important gods of the pagan religion back then. And so, like I said, the altar to Baal was a flat surface for sacrificing animals and bringing death. And an Asherah pole was, if I can say this as delicately as possible, we have Asherah poles today. They still exist. They're generally used for dancing in adult entertainment. An Asherah pole is a stripper pole. So the prophetesses of Asherah would dance and do explicit things on these poles to worship the goddess of fertility. And so Gideon takes down the idols in the middle of their town, in the middle of the night, and builds in their place an altar to God. And this is where direction starts to take hold for Gideon. Because he doesn't just push against the idols of the world, of the culture. He tears them down. He creates a new group. He says, I'm going to be a part of something else. This is where the people of God kind of get reestablished in this area because clearly they weren't following Yahweh. And Gideon suddenly stands for something. And so now he belongs to something. He stands up for God and sets himself apart from the world. So I ask, where do you belong? Who do you belong to? Because our culture creates idols the same way Gideon's culture did. They just look different. An idol is anything that stands between you and God. And a lot of things we worship in our culture, a lot of idols we have, screens, video games, politics, sports, social media, TV, celebrities, movies. Sometimes it's yourself. Sometimes it's your job. And you can tell what an idol is by what your world revolves around, what you spend your time on, what you spend your money on. Baal and Asherah, the altar and the pole, they were in the center of these people's lives. The dead middle, both in the middle of their town, it was the first thing you built when you built a town, is you set up an altar and the Asherah pole, and you built your town around it. Their town was physically built around these things. Their worship was built around these things. And God needed his people to stop belonging to idols and start belonging to him. And we see Gideon stand up and do something about it. This was Gideon's hometown. This is Gideon's family. This is Gideon's friends. And he had to show them, this isn't what God wants for your life. This isn't how the people of God act. I'm reading it going, maybe the Midianites are coming in and about to take this town over because they're not doing the right thing. And when Gideon stood up, it gave him identity and it gave him belonging. And God proves to his people in the next chapter that when you belong to him, he can do anything. In Judges chapter 7, Gideon, in the next chapter, he sees this army coming and he gathers an army of 32,000 men. And he says, God, we're ready to fight for you. Let's go. And God said, I don't need you to fight for me. I fight for you. Army's too big. Tear it down. So Gideon pares it down to like 7,000 people. And God's like, no, this isn't your fight. This is my fight. Less. 300. 300 people. And God goes, all right, that's enough. And Gideon's staring down an entire army with 300 guys. And God goes, well, we're going to do this in one night. And God does the miraculous. Because God can do what we think is impossible. When we look at something that we see impossible, God goes, oh, this is where I get to show them why I'm God. And because Gideon stood up for God's kingdom, because God belonged in God's kingdom, God did extraordinary things through him. So once again, I ask you, where do you belong and who do you belong to? Are you a chameleon? Do you just blend into life? Do you blend into culture depending on the people you're with? Or are we tearing down the idols and living in God's kingdom? In Gideon's time, God's kingdom was built around sacrifices. That's why God commanded Gideon to build an altar. It wasn't just to tear down their gods and have a item to look at. It was because God was saying, we're going to tear down the pagan gods, and this is going to be a place of my kingdom, of my worship. And then we look for how God builds the kingdom now, and we open up our Bibles to Acts chapter 2, and we see where the new believers are meeting every day with the church and breaking bread together. We open up our Bibles to Hebrews 10, where it says, do not forget meeting on the first day of the week, as some are in the habit of doing. And I go, wow, that sounds pretty familiar. I think a lot of us are in the habit of forgetting to meet on the first day of the week. And it says, encourage one another daily. We open to 1 Corinthians 16, where they're talking about how to organize their weekly meetings. We open up to Acts chapter 20, where it says, on the first day of the week, we came together and broke bread. Where do you belong and who do you belong to? Where our time is and where our effort is what we belong to. Do our lives revolve around sports and politics, our kids' games? Or does it revolve around the church? Are we taking trips to Disney and Universal? Or are we worshiping? Because if something's standing in between you and God, that's an idol. And it's time to tear it down and belong to God's kingdom. And I'm not saying you can't miss church, guys. I'm going to miss church. It's not an attendance checkbook. What I am saying is that you have to go to church, which, good job, we're here. But God built his kingdom back then around idols because people had to make his sacrifice. Our idol and our sacrifice is right there in the middle of our wall. That's what our church is built around, the cross of Jesus Christ, because God came into the new covenant when Jesus died on the cross for you and your me, and he said, this is what we're building the church around. I don't need sacrifices of animals anymore. I don't need you to be giving your wheat and your barley and all these things. I need you to be giving your life to Jesus Christ. What altar is in the middle of your life? Because it should look a lot like that. It should look a lot like the cross. Because Jesus came down to this earth. He gave his life for you and for me so that we could have a restored relationship with him. He didn't do that so that you could go to Disney and go to Universal and spend time doing everything else except devoting your life to him. He did it because he loves you, he cares about you, and he wants a relationship with you. It's the same reason he looked at Gideon and said, tear down the altar. Tear down the Asherah pole. My people belong to me. God's looking at you guys and saying, you all belong to me. I love you so much that I gave my son to die on the cross for you. And if you don't know anything about that, if you're winepress Gideon, and you're sitting there going, man, I'd like to belong to something. I'd like to belong to somebody who loves me so much that they'd send their son. That they're willing to look past all the dirt and the junk in my life so that I can be saved? And come down front. We'd love to talk to you about that. I'll be down here in just a minute. And I would love to talk to you about what new life Jesus can bring to you. If you're online, you can find someone with a name tag. You can email us, text us. But we got to stand for something. And culture might not like that you stand up for it. Culture might tell you not to come here. But to belong to God's kingdom, you need to belong to a church. And obviously, we like this one. We would love for you to belong here, to come and be a part of what we're doing, to come and be a part of the kingdom. Because we're not here to grow the name of Swiss Cove Christian Church or the name of Brandon or the name of Elliot or Paul. We're here to grow the name of Jesus Christ. And so I ask you guys, where do you belong? Who do you belong to? This week, we're going to look at our lives. We're going to look at what is in the way of God's kingdom and figure out what needs to be torn down. What needs to be torn down? What idols are standing in the way of being a part of this kingdom? Because we want to be a church that belongs to God and to Christ and to each other. That's why we say, believe, belong, become. We want to belong to God and to Christ and to each other. That stands up for God, that stands up for his people, and that looks for him to do incredible things. Because he's going to do incredible things through this church. It might not be defeating a giant army on the horizon with 300 people, but we have our own battles that we're going to fight along the way. And he's looking at us to go, trust me, because I'm going to fight your battles for you. Because when he died on the cross, he already fought the ultimate battle for you. There's nothing our Savior can't do to stand up for you. But if we worship our version of Baal, our version of Asherah, you might not ever see the fight. You're just going to get steamrolled over. Because when we don't let God fight for us, the world's bigger than you are. Culture's bigger than you are. But it's not bigger than our God. We're not going to get to see him fight for us. We might not get to see the miracles, the healings, the relationships restored. Because when we stand for nothing, we belong to nothing. But when you stand for something, we belong to something. So stand for God's kingdom. Would you guys stand with us? We're going to worship now and continue trusting in God.